about hearing the voice of God with us today. The world is a very different place at the moment, right? I mean, we don't have to look around too far to see that. Sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, is that really happening right now? It's quite a time to be living in. And we look around the church, right? We have a much smaller congregation in person, and a lot of that is obviously because of what's happening with the pandemic, and many people are worshiping online, and I'm glad that you're still continuing to connect in that way. And you know, the church is going to emerge from this time of pandemic. There is a future. It's not always going to be like this, quite this way, but I really believe that it's going to be different. I don't think we're going back to the same way it was pre-pandemic. And I think that that's a good thing in many ways. You know, I watched this movie with my kids the other night. It's called Greenland. And if any of you are planning to watch this, what's that? Greenland? And if anybody's going to watch this, just like, this might be a spoiler for you. But it's one of these disaster movies that's a survival story. You know, basically all of these people are trying to get to Greenland because there are some underground shelters there because a 9-mile-wide asteroid is going to hit Earth. Okay? And the special effects are awesome and amazing. The movie was made in 2020, so, you know, great year for worldwide disasters. But it's this journey from, you know, the deep south all the way to Greenland where they can get to safety. And it's one of these in the nick of time things, you know, just as they're closing the blast doors on the shelter, you see this 9-mile-wide asteroid streak through the atmosphere, fire glowing behind it, and it strikes Central Europe and obliterates the whole thing, and then the fireball wraps around the whole globe. And then the screen goes dark. And 6 months later, you see the blast doors open. Right? And there's the survivors that have made it through this worldwide devastation. And they know that life is going to go on, but it's going to be different as they rebuild, right? I mean, like 2,000 people around the world survive. I know more than that are going to survive COVID. But my point is that similarly to this movie, the idea that, you know, we are going to emerge. And the Lord has a plan for how that emergence is taking place. And God knew this was going to happen certainly way before any of us did. He knows everything. And he is not without a plan in all of this. And it is our job as the church to be able to know his voice and hear his voice and follow it to the very best that we possibly can, even if that means doing things differently than we have been. So I have two questions to ask you. I'm hoping I know the answers to them from you. Do you want to see God at work in your life? Yes. Yes, we hope. I do. Do you want to see God at work in your community? Right? We have to learn to hear his voice. We have to be willing to embrace some change and be flexible. You know, you've done a great job of that so far. It's been a year. It's been a challenging time. We need to be willing to listen to the voice of the Lord, and if he's leading us to a different way of doing some things, we need to be willing to do that. You know, I really believe that the Lord is calling us to focus on prayer and the Great Commission. It's different. It's a different paradigm for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's different than it has been in good ways. We hear the Lord in all different ways. The scriptures today have people hearing from the Lord. You know, they're hundreds of years apart in history, and they're hearing the voice of God in different ways. We hear the Lord through his word, right? We hear the Lord through prayer. We hear the Lord through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear the Lord through other folks speaking his truth to us. Sometimes people might even actually hear his voice. I've never heard his voice audibly. Someday I hope to. You know, things in churches are changing. And there there are statistics that we can look at and see, and statistics should not mean rules about the way we do things, but they can guide and help inform us. It used to be that churches should have 80% of the seats filled and 20% empty so that when newcomers come, they feel like there's a place for them. If they have to shoehorn themselves in the back between two people and they're like this, it's not very comfortable and they will feel like they don't have a place. The new rule, theoretically, is 60% because people don't want to be too close after the pandemic. You know, even after people are vaccinated and things start to change, I bet we're still going to be wearing masks here and there, you know? Just interesting statistics like that. Some folks are seeing that after going remote, 20% of people, it's going to be okay. So the church is changing, right? The environment in which we live and minister is changing, but the gospel has not changed, and God's truth has not changed. And so the ways in which we minister the gospel need to be creative and flexible, yet without compromising. I was talking with a friend of mine, Pastor Learte Soares, this week, and in chatting back and forth with me, he shared something with me that he wrote. He says, the gospel is power for all, and our challenge is to reconcile the message that has integrity and relevance to us in this culture. We live in a world of change that challenges the church in every way, and we need to understand the culture and the people that God has sent to our communities. So, who is God sending to us as Brownsville Community Church? And who are we being sent to? And how do we learn to speak their language a little bit better so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be clearly communicated to their hearts? That's kind of like, what is that asking? You probably have heard me ask this question before. What is the Spirit of God saying to us, and what are we going to do about it? It's my hope that we're going to be able to become more of a gospel presence in our community, and that we'll be able to develop relationships in our neighborhoods. At least around here, in speaking with other pastors and things like that in our area, it doesn't seem like we're going to be back to a packed sanctuary on Sunday mornings anytime soon, and not because of a lack of folks interested in coming together for worship. It seems like there's a shift towards worshiping together in smaller micro-church type of groups, which is why we've been talking about small groups. I want Brownsville Community Church to be equipped to be able to handle whatever comes their way, either through pandemic or persecution, so that we might be able to continue meeting together, whether we call it a small group or whether you gather with other Christians in in-depth Bible study, whatever the case may be, that we continue to remain connected to one another in the faith and listening to the Lord. We have got to become dependent upon prayer and not just bump along through life. The first church began from a movement of prayer. Think about when they were gathered in the upper room before the Holy Spirit came upon them. Near as we can tell, they were up there praying for about 10 days. That's a lot of prayer. Can we pray for 10 minutes? Much less 10 days. The great spiritual awakenings in history have all begun as movements of prayer. It doesn't just happen. It's prayer and repentance. It's when we pray, we get ourselves in a right posture before the Lord. We get the junk in our lives out of the way so that the Holy Spirit can speak to us and lead us and convict us and empower us. And it's when the power of God is released, when a church will become a praying church and a humble church and say, Lord, we're done trying to do this ourselves. Please lead us and guide us. The churches that emerge from this pandemic as healthy and vibrant churches are going to have not only leadership, but also membership who look to God in prayer for a great intervention. It is my sincere hope and prayer that we will be one of those churches, that we will become a people devoted to prayer. First and foremost, we need to be in the Word studying. We need to be praying. We need to be laying ourselves before the Lord and seeing what we need to let go of ourselves and decrease that he might increase. And we've got to be focused on the Great Commission, right? Great Commission. Go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is our primary goal and call. It's telling people about the gospel. It's helping them to grow in their faith. That's not just the job of the pastor. That is the call on every single person that is a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of churches are too busy for their own good, right? We've got a whole lot of stuff going on. And the pandemic snuffed a lot of stuff in many respects. And it gives us an opportunity to take account of what's happening and decide what is high value, what is meeting the Great Commission, what is faithful in answering the call that God has placed on us as a body, as we hear his voice as the Holy Spirit, and what do we need to let go of? It's okay to let go of some things sometimes and be able to refocus all of our energy where the Lord would have it to be. So we need to draw near to God, right? We can't hear him if we're not near to him. It's pretty tough. That's prayer. It's sitting down with him and listening. You know, for a lot of us, prayer is sort of this great asking. Like, I envision, I remember when Elisha, just this past year, was giving me his Christmas wish list. It went on and on and on and on and on. And I was like, okay, kid, some of these things you might get, some of them probably not. But it's sincerely praying for those who we know have needs. It's sincerely praying for our own needs. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if prayer is to be a conversation, then there's got to be some listening time as well as some talking time on our part. And I wonder, I'm guilty of it sometimes, of talking at God without waiting for him to speak and have a chance to listen. And if we would sit in his presence, we might be surprised at what the Lord would say to us. God does not call us to busyness. He calls us to obedience and relationship. And we cannot be healthy and growing if we are not praying and listening. Sometimes in talking with folks that maybe are having difficulty in relationships with friends or with a spouse, there's a common thread that I see, and it's that one person often says to the other, "You don't listen. You never listen to me." And we are guilty of not just listening, but we listen sometimes to respond instead of really hearing the other person. We already have the response formed in our head because we think, aha, I know where you were going with that, and I already know what I'm going to say to you, so as soon as you stop talking, it's coming out of my mouth. Have you ever had that happen to you? I don't know. But how do we listen to the voice of God? Right? How do we know his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit? What does Scripture say? Let's go there, okay? Gospel of John. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Mic drop, right? So, the Holy Spirit helps us to know what God is saying to us because he's God. You know, we get Acts chapter 2 that describes the events that occurred on the day of Pentecost. After Jesus ascends into heaven, verse 3 says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the Counselor promised by Jesus. And this unique part of God, who God is as the Holy Spirit, didn't come to them as someone that they could, you know, see and touch and shake hands with, but he came to live inside of them. And that same Spirit is available to you and to me today. If you are a Christian, if you have entrusted your life to Jesus Christ, you have this available to you. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us and leads us and teaches us and counsels us and convicts us and exhorts us and shows us the way. And so the Holy Spirit will prepare your heart to hear God's voice. And it's that sometimes that still small voice inside of you. And if it's in my case, sometimes I feel like God has to communicate with me with a brick from heaven. Hey, pay attention, buddy. You're not hearing the whisper, so here comes the brick. But It's the one who will remind you of what God has said and help you to recognize how God is leading in your life. So if you want to begin a conversation with someone, how do you begin? Do you stand in front of them and hope that they might talk to you? Might get a little weird. I don't know. Or do you just walk up to them and start talking and never give them a chance to breathe or get a word in edgewise? It's a conversation, right? So the Lord loves you. He knows your heart. There's nothing scary about prayer. It can be as simple as, "Hello, God, it's me." And God's going to go, "Yeah, I know. You created me, and you know way more about me than I do anyways, so I'd like to get to know you better. Here's what's happening in my life. I'd sure like to know how I should handle it. Would you please speak to me about this today?" It can be really simple, anything like that. It doesn't need to be a big, long, flowery prayer. Or if big, long, flowery prayers help lead you in worship like they do me, pray those. That's good too. You know, in calling his disciples, what we see in the gospel lesson today, Jesus is inviting them to come and die. And before you go, "What do you mean?" He's inviting them to come and die that they might truly live, right? Think about it. They left everything behind. When Jesus said, "Follow me," it was, "Don't get all your affairs in order and find somebody to replace you in your family business, and then consider it for 6 months while you count the cost." It was, "Come, follow me. Here I am. Let's go." They left everything behind. They left their expectations of the old ways of living behind. They submitted themselves and their futures to the leading of Jesus Christ. So this invitation to the Christian life, to become a follower of the way, is an invitation to come and to die with Jesus. We die to ourselves. We mortify the flesh. We mortify our sinful desires. We mortify our own will and submit it to God's will. We mortify our traditions and our sacred cows and our ineffective ways of doing church that we might hear God's voice and know his new paradigms and follow the leading of his Holy Spirit. So this is just an invitation. Essentially, I've been praying for every single one of you here today, and for the folks that are meeting with us online, I have been praying that the Lord would instill a fresh hunger in you for his word and for relationship and to spend time in prayer, that we wouldn't be satisfied with the status quo, that we would be willing to let go of what the Lord is calling us to let go of and step into what he's calling us to step into, because he's got a plan. And he's laying it out to us by his Holy Spirit if we will learn to hear his voice and follow. In the name of Christ, amen. Let's join together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.